This is an extemporaneous prayer treatment by the Mary Baker Eddy Institute. Website mbeinstitute.org. This prayer treatment is plank number 31 of 32, and the text on the original text of this is from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, chapter 10. And all 32 planks begin on page 330 and extend through 340. The procedure that will be followed is reading the original text in prose format and then reading them in a numbered list, which is the original text broken down by key points. After each key point, if there's any thoughts that come to the surface, they will be added to whatever the original text is. And when we're finished with this key point, we will then review the comments, which is a scientific translation by John L. Sinton. Again, reading the text and then reading the key points in a numbered list. The title to this plank number 31 is Evil Not Produced by God. Since God is all, there is no room for His unlikeness. God, Spirit, alone created all and called it good. Therefore, evil, being contrary to good, is unreal and cannot be the product of God. A sinner can receive no encouragement from the fact that science demonstrates the unreality of evil, for the sinner would make a reality of sin, would make that real which is unreal, and thus heap up wrath against the day of wrath. He is joining in a conspiracy against himself, against his own awakening to the awful unreality by which he has been deceived. Only those who repent of sin and forsake the unreal can fully understand the unreality of evil. Here is each key point of the original text, followed by any comments that come to the surface. 1. Since God is all, there is no room for His unlikeness. Mary Baker Eddy talks about consciousness, and that one way to convert thought, the focus at the present, from any possibility of evil to its opposite, which is good, and this is good defined as spiritual good, is to pour in truth through flood tides of love. Chapter 5 of the textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, is entitled Animal Magnetism Unmasked. Mary Baker Eddy was unable to get the first version published, even though she waited and tried to encourage it to be done. But it came to her that she needed to cover the topic of evil and that it must be exposed and eradicated in order to move forward. So she inserted a new chapter, the chapter 5. And after she did that, she felt like that completed the textbook, and she would now deliver it to the publisher. 151 years ago, in 1875, when this occurred, a train was the most efficient way to travel. And she needed to make a change in trains during part of the journey, And he was on the way to meet her, and they met at a train station. And he was bringing the transcript to her that he had finished, which of course did not include the chapter 5. So she gave him the chapter, and then he went back and published it. But that's being said only because the title of this is Evil Not Produced by God, and that if we're going to go forward with any kind of a worthwhile project, we have to make sure we tend to exposing and getting rid of evil to provide the opportunity to focus on good. In the Old Testament, Habakkuk tells us that God is of purer eyes than to behold evil. We cannot permit anything to dilute, deflect, divert, stop, or reverse the pursuit of truth. There can be no mixture of good and evil. We have to focus on spirit, which is flawless, as the only real substance. The next key point, number 2, God, Spirit, alone created all and called it good. If one views Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 in the Bible, it says, in the beginning God created, and so forth. In chapter 15 of the textbook, which is entitled Genesis, she provides the spiritual translation of that to mean in the only. The Bible states that there is nothing new under the sun. Frederick L. Rawson, a real expert in Christian Science, states that when it appears that there is a new invention of some sort, that it really is a rearrangement of truth. In other words, presenting the various parts of truth that have not been presented in that particular way or known to be previously. One might say this is kind of like looking at a statue in a museum. One may walk around a table slowly and view each part of the statue from a slightly different view. The statue doesn't change. We are only focusing on a different view of it. And we may go around the entire statue with this kind of a close examination. And if we view it again, there may be some new thoughts that surface to give us a little different view of what we just got done seeing a few minutes previous. Dale Carnegie, a famous trainer of success, says that one should never state an opinion with a tremendous fixity of thought, because we may learn different information, maybe more comprehensive, and have a change of view, so that our new view could be quite different, could be even the opposite of the original view. It appears that the primary thing we want to think about with this number 2 that says God's Spirit alone created all and called it good is that there is no other source of good. And we may want to think of this being a revelation instead of a creation. In other words, uncovering something that has always been true, but we just recently recognized it, or had it presented, where we could understand more about it. Key point number 3. Therefore, evil, being contrary to good, is unreal. It's obvious that when there are opposites, only one of them can be true. God is defined as being omni with every one of his qualities. That means there could be no opposition or competition or anything unlike God that can be real. And I see here the next key point is that evil cannot be the product of God. And if we put 3 and 4 together, it says, therefore, evil being contrary to good is unreal, and evil cannot be the product of God. Key point 5. A sinner can receive no encouragement from the fact that science demonstrates the unreality of evil. To what is referred to here, one might read from the textbook that sin is unreal, and therefore they may rationalize that they can sin, and of course breaking any of the commandments or the golden rule is a sin, so they may rationalize that they can do anything, and the evil that is done is unreal, so they're off the hook. Mary Baker Eddy explains very vividly in the textbook that there is only one mind, and that's with a capital M, which means God. And any other mind with a small m is a misstatement of what mind really is. And it has been termed to be mortal mind, but she says that term is an oxymoron because mind is not mortal. The only mind there is immortal. It's divine. It is the opposite of mortality. The definition of God on page 465 of the textbook says that God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. Since God is incorporeal, then God is the opposite, which is spirit. Spirit is the only thing that is flawless. Certainly, matter is full of flaws. Divine means it's perfect. Supreme means it's above everything. In fact, the true meaning of that is that there is nothing but the one and only supreme God. There is no competition or opposition to God. And the fourth adjective is infinite. No limitation. 360 degrees without a perimeter, the center and the circumference of all being. And those four terms are then followed by the seven synonymous terms for God in the order of development. And if one carefully examines Genesis chapter 1, they will find that each of those seven synonymous terms are explained by the text in Genesis chapter 1. The very first one being mind, which is light. And therefore, light is revealed before the sun and the moon, or the stars are revealed. Therefore, the only true, real light is from mind, and it's not from anything that is visible, such as the moon and the stars and the sun. When we title prayer treatments, if the focus is on mind, we generally put a 1 as a preface to the rest of the title. We would say like 1-mind- and then the topic. And if it's about spirit, we would say 2, or soul is 3. This is because the development order that is explained in the chapter 1 of Genesis is in that order. and we call it the order of the 7 days. And of course, if you read the text, it names each one of the topics a particular day. It states that man is created in day 6, and that God gave man dominion over all the earth. So everything was created or revealed in the first 5 days. Then man was revealed and given dominion over everything, and then God rested and declared everything was very good. And then what happened is a mist went up, and the word used for God is totally different than in the previous verses, which was chapter 1 through verse 3 of chapter 2, where the original word is Elohim, and different words are used for God following verse 3 of chapter 1. And so that is a so-called record of evil. And that's what this plank number 31 is all about, to get clear in one's thought that God never produced evil. Evil is not produced by God. Since God is the only source of all existence, then what is the source of evil? It has no source. Evil is a misunderstanding of truth. If one is exposed to any kind of a speech or an action which is unlike God, then we know it is an incorrect view of the truth. When Jesus saw someone that was in need, he did not see them as a sinning mortal man. Everybody around him saw him that way, but Jesus didn't. Einstein has stated that one cannot solve a problem if you approach it on the same level as where the problem was discovered. Jesus did not approach it on the same level as what the problem appeared to be. He approached it on the divine level, stating that the individual was an innocent child of God, and he could not see the individual of having a problem. If he would have seen Lazarus and Tabitha as being dead, he couldn't have raised them from the dead. He saw them as sleeping. He saw them as alive. And therefore, his persistence in that view brought forth in visible form what he was perceiving in his own thoughts. And he had to persist and not give in to any contrary belief, which are the beliefs of those that surrounded the individual, until finally they recognized the truth about the individual. So there really wasn't any change. It was a change in thought that took place. I read one time that a practitioner stated that when one has a problem, they renew it within their consciousness every day, and that is what keeps the problem persisting. We could reverse that by starting any day, doesn't matter what time it is, but let's suppose that it's after a rest and we're now awakening. We could begin by stating the truth about whatever it is that we had had a problem about previously, and not naming the problem, but starting from the absolute. On page 115 and 116 of Science and Health, Mary Baker Eddy discusses the 4 levels of consciousness, and she starts out with the highest absolute level, which is God, and then man, and then idea, all of which are at the highest level. So that certainly could be one thing we could think about, that we could get clear in our thought who God is and what is the spiritual recognition of man that we should be confirming and affirming that applies to us. I am an individual manifestation of man. Therefore, I am perfect because I am an image and likeness of God, which is perfect. Mary Baker Eddy says that we should declare the truth about ourselves until the problem is dissolved. Frederick L. Rawson, I mentioned, was a genius in several different prayer treatments. He wrote a book entitled Treatment or Healing by True Prayer. And in it, there's a chapter called Applied Treatment, where he gives the definition from a material standpoint of 1,315 different ailments. And then he gives you the spiritual solution that should be affirmed, and we should claim it as our true nature. Now, it's recommended that you don't read that chapter from beginning to end, but you only look up, it's in alphabetic order, look up the ailment that seems to be a problem that you're confronted with. The next key point is number 6, and it says the sinner would make a reality of sin, would make that real which is unreal, and thus heap up wrath against the day of wrath. Now that's 6 and 7 combined. Well, that's the difference of whether we accept or reject a suggestion of sin. If we reject it, we prevent it from being considered a reality by us in thought. And it's much easier to reject an idea before it gets settled in thought than it is to try to cure it. Prevention is worth a multiple of the value of the cure. It's like dropping an egg on the floor by mistake. It's a whole lot easier to make sure that when you're carrying eggs, that you're not trying to carry too many things in your hands, because the cleanup is a whole lot more difficult than the prevention. Mary Baker Eddy refers to material history as being a compound of lie upon lie. And that's what this refers to in number 7. It says, thus heap up wrath against the day of wrath, which means that we're believing that sin is real. Number 8, he is joining in a conspiracy against himself, a conspiracy against his own awakening to the awful unreality by which he has been deceived. So he's talking about an individual that is accepting sin as being real instead of rejecting it and claiming the truth about oneself as being real, instead of claiming that we are an individual manifestation of God, and therefore we have the right to claim our perfection. But we have to, of course, act like it. We can't say, well, we're the image and likeness of God, and then do things that are the opposite of that. If we're going to claim the truth, as the Bible explains about man, then we have to fill the shoes. We have to think, speak, and act like we're talking in terms of just claiming a statement. And this number 9 talks about awakening. See, this could again be thought of as being revealing. We are being revealed, or we have the opportunity to reveal to our own thought of what the truth is about our heritage. Reject the heritage that we are of the lineage of Adam and Eve, and accept the fact that we are of the lineage that it explains in Genesis chapter 1, not Genesis chapter 2. By the way, Genesis chapter 2 has an earlier date than Genesis chapter 1. So God had his hand in play of the way this was going to be revealed, and that is that we first of all learn the truth about creation, or rather, all existence through revelation, and accept and claim that as our true heritage, and reject the thought that we are of the lineage of Adam and Eve. Claim that we are of the lineage of God Himself. As Genesis 1 clearly states, we are made in the image and likeness of God. We have a book on the website, and it's about the Council of Nicaea, which took place circa 325 AD. And that is a book that everyone should be aware of. Read it thoroughly until you understand it, because that is the beginning of where they promulgated the fake idea of us being of the lineage of Adam and Eve. That should be taught in the schools. That should be taught in the churches. That should be taught, or let's put it this way, the information in that book should be available for everyone to learn. Next key point, number 10. Only those who repent of sin and forsake the unreal can fully understand the unreality of evil. In these prayer treatments, we've talked about forgiveness. And how does that need even come about? It's all fabricated. In other words, if we feel we need to forgive someone for a sin, that means we have condemned them. So our thoughts condemned them, and therefore we feel our thoughts have to forgive them. We shouldn't be in the business of condemning or forgiving anyone. What someone else does, unless they happen to be our children or someone we're responsible for that isn't able to make the decision themselves, we have to make sure that we are thinking like Jesus did. He didn't think about a sinning mortal man, or someone that was blind, or someone that was dead, or someone that was leprous. He thought of everyone as the image and likeness of God. He separated any evil act from the individual, and he dealt with the act, not the person. We must remember the individual is not what we want to destroy. We want to separate the individual from the act and destroy the act. Then the individual doesn't have the power to play the evil part that was being played previously. This is one of the beautiful things that is happening in the federal government of the U.S. The DOGE department, D-O-G-E, Department of Government Efficiency, they are discovering where the funding is coming from for all these evil organizations, and they're terminating the funding. And part of the funding, of course, is anyone that doesn't do something about it, which starts within their own consciousness. We don't want to be passive, which is the same as supporting, because it will compound and grow into a larger and larger evil. We have to do the opposite of ignoring it. We have to take active steps within our own thought to know that evil has absolutely no power, and we're not going to give it any power. We're not going to believe that it is real. But on the other hand, we are going to be involved in any way we can to expose the evil so we can cut off the supply that goes to an individual that is probably blinded to what he's even doing. Because that's one of the things that happens with someone that is involved in doing sin. Many times they don't even realize until after the fact what they had done. It's like an animal that's cornered. They will strike at anything, even though what they're striking at could be something that's innocent. But they only know one thing, they're fighting for survival. So they strike at anything. Resisting evil at the onset of being aware of it is by far the most intelligent way to deal with it. Frederick Rawson discovered how to go back in time and heal a problem. Imagine the effectiveness of that. It's as if there was not a problem from the moment the individual discovered they had a problem until the present moment. The possibilities with infinite mind are without limit. Here are the comments from John L. Sinton. Spirit alone created all, and that evil is not and cannot possibly be the product of God. To persist or indulge in sin is to prolong a state of self-deception and its consequences. To speculate or to theorize on evil never solves any problem. Demonstration, rising to coincidence with principle, solves it for all time. Now, what is principle? Principle is structure, always in balance, always harmonious. Mind creates the system, and the system is applied to the structure. Therefore, we know how to utilize the structure of principle with a system that comes from the intelligence of mind. I will close this with the statement of scientific being from page 468 of the textbook. There is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. For God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. Amen. It is February 27, Friday at 12:49. And the topic of this has been 32 planks. This is number 31 of 32. And the specific subject on this plank is evil not produced by God. Thank you for listening. The end.